Hello and welcome to Presenting, a podcast where we chat about various topics related to role-playing games, typically Paizo products such as Pathfinder and Starfinder, but also others. I'm John Godick, and with me today is Randall Meyer. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, thank you.
So Randall is a longtime staff member on the No Direction Network, having created both the groundbreaking and terraforming blogs for Pathfinder and Starfinder, respectively. He has freelance credits for Wayfinder, Everybody Games, and Pathfinder 2nd Edition, and is the creator of Sage, a Discord bot for play-by-post that includes rule search and lookup. So Randall, can you tell us a little bit about your work for No Direction and how you got started with the network in the first place?
Yeah, so I'm currently on hiatus with my blogs, but I've got works in the background putting stuff together to get them back up. But I did start out initially by being a fan of the show. I was getting heavily into 2E. I had wanted to just learn more, meet more people. I believe it was after I'd gotten my first Wayfinder credit where I decided, hey, I should probably look into this blogging, because if somebody looks up my name, they won't find anything. And that led me to No Direction. And after binging No Direction for months, I found that there was one of the shows, I believe it was Create Demiplane with Alex. Mm-hmm. And it had just gone by the wayside, as shows do. And I thought that groundbreaking would be a fun way to kind of fill that niche. And it was something I was really into and really enjoyed. I approached the team. I can't remember if it was Ryan or Perrin both, or, you know, individually or separately. And I kind of got the new phone number. Who's this? You know, they just didn't know who I was. Rightfully so. I was a nobody. And they gave me the greatest advice ever. And they said, hey, if you want to write, go write. And so I created a blog. I started writing. And I just kept it up. I was a regular on the No Direction Discord throughout the entire time. And so I would share my bits and pieces here and there. And turns out they were reading them. And so after months of doing that, I want to say 6 months or so, I happened to have another conversation and they invited me to come join the network.
Well, Nate, and what were you blogging about originally? And then how did that kind of morph into groundbreaking?
My own blog was essentially just stream of consciousness writing. okay. It was a combination of a lot of my homebrew for first edition. I would clean it up, formalize it so that it looked like it belonged in a rule book, and I would blog about it. And it was mostly from a perspective of, hey guys, I'm a regular Joe GM. This is my thought process when I create content. And so that was how the blog was set up. It was things I was passionate about within the game. So it tended towards magic items, spellcasters, things of that nature. But it had some other rules and world building. And so when it came to doing groundbreaking, that was kind of how it flowed, was I'm going to create a homebrew campaign world, but I'm going to do it through the lens of a GM. And so I would write a paragraph or two of, here's the content. And then I would follow that with a sentence or a paragraph of, here's what's going through my mind. And if you read through any of those, especially the early ones, there were times where I would start a blog in one direction and take a little bit of a left turn in the middle, because in the process of writing that content, I came up with an idea I liked better or different. And so that was just kind of how I transitioned from my personal blog to groundbreaking.
You know, I was actually thinking about starting a blog on No Direction, and I realized it's a lot of work doing all that writing. So I do only podcasts now, and like exactly what you're saying, stream of conscious, you know, Ron and I have a show, and it's pretty much right before we start, I say, oh, let's talk about this. And it's the two of us, stream of conscious, just talking and recording. That's way easier than writing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think my personal blog, I released once a week. Sometimes I would do, you know, a new thing a week and then convert an old thing a week. And so, you know, I was putting out quite a bit of content back then, but that was also mm-hmm. before my kids were walking. So, you know, it's a little bit easier to have the time for that. And then when it came to groundbreaking, I started out with an every other week. Mm-hmm. And then I can't remember how long I was doing that, maybe a year, when I started terraforming. And that was after I'd gotten a little bit of Starfinder under my belt. And so I alternated weeks. And so I was doing weekly blogs, one Pathfinder, right, one Starfinder. And yeah, after 6 months or a year of that, that just became a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you have a local group that these homebrews are being run for? Or do you do like organized play? Or kind of where's your gaming experience to go along with those?
So the vast majority of my game experience is actually with one single group. They're friends of mine from high school, post-high school. While I was out of the state for the military, I had a different group there, but it was primarily, I've only ever had one group at a time. Mm-hmm. And it's basically a weekly game session. And I've GM'd almost 90% of my game experience. So. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a lot of fun. And are they local to where you're at now then, or are they somewhere else?
They were before I moved out of California, but since moving up to the Seattle area, we meet weekly still, but we do it all online through Discord. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's, I'm fortunate. I have a couple local groups here now, but I remember, you know, when I first started playing way back in the day, you know, having a weekly group and all, you know, we pretty much just played homebrews. That is a lot of fun. And now I do mostly organized play, and I think you should, you know, there's a lot of org play here in the Seattle area. You should get involved some. So from where you're at, probably Terra Crux in Tacoma is probably the closest place, but there's a shop in Gig Harbor that actually wants to start running org play.
Oh, I will get in touch with them. Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to doing something along those lines. I've already, you know, slowly been trying to make contacts so that post-pandemic I can have a in-face group meetup. Mm-hmm. I'd like to host here, but, you know, I'm happy to travel. So it's on the plans. It's just not there yet.
Okay. Yeah, I'll send you an invite to the Tacoma Org Play Discord, and that's where they have... They were just literally just talking about trying to get some people into the Gig Harbor store because they want to start running games. Excellent. So tell us a little bit about your freelance work, you know, kind of how you got that started and what your journey has been like since then.
So, yeah, as mentioned, I started with Wayfinder, and that was kind of since the early D&D, okay, the early days of, you know, my early days were AD&D 2E. That's when I got my start. Mm-hmm. And we homebrewed that heavily, and it looked a lot like 3.0 when 3.0 came out. So I jumped ship quick, mm-hmm. real quick. And of course, I think part of that is why I was so invested in 3.0 that I stayed with Pathfinder, because it was the style of game I was looking at the time. And I've been homebrewing. I've actually tried to, you know, I didn't know the right way to do it, but I tried to reach out to the early Dragon and Dungeon way back in the day. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know how you broke into that. So it never went. And then, a few years back when, just before I joined the network, I saw one of the open calls for Wayfinder, and on a whim, the 2 days before the deadline, I was driving to San Francisco. It was about a 2-3 hour drive for us at the time. And I had my laptop and I just wrote out a little, you know, side trek and submitted it and got lucky and got it in. And so that just started me on, well, I guess I've started down the road now. Let's see how serious I can get about this. And writing for the network was great because that was, I mean, you know, weekly or, you know, twice monthly. Mm-hmm. It's content. It's writing. It's content. It's the process. And through that process and through the contacts, you know, I got in touch with Alex Agunis. Thank you, Alex, for getting me my start. Got a couple of products out for him through, you know, his EM log series. And then from there, I did get back matter for, which was it? The Live Free or Die for the White Glove Affair. I got some back matter for that. I got to upgrade the Prophecies of Calistrade to Starfinder from Pathfinder. So that was a very fun experience. And then from there, I've gotten a few credits in 2E. Most recent one was Bounty 11 I got to do. So Forged mm-hmm. God, that was fun. That was great. It was really interesting. Short form adventure. I am in the Grand Bazaar. My name was announced. I almost forgot about that. So I got to write accessory runes for Pathfinder 2E. Nice. So that was a load of fun. I'd love to talk about them, but they haven't really been discussed, so I can't.
Right. So how did you get these opportunities? I understand with Alex, but how did you get the opportunities with Paizo?
Think about that. It wasn't directly through anyone at the network. I think it was actually my Starfinder credit. So at PaizoCon 2019, I was running around doing a bunch of the microphone drops pickoffs for No Direction. So I was in and out of all the rooms all the time. And so I got to bump into various people. And then I was in one of the No Direction games that we were running after hours, and it was Jason Keeley was in there, and so I'm positive it was Jason Keeley. Now I'm suddenly drawing a blank and I'm paranoid. Later I bumped into him, we had a chat, and if anyone who's listened to the No Direction recordings from the cons, if you do want to break in, have some way of people to remember you, I had taken business cards with me. And so I had handed out my business card to pretty much anyone at Paizo who was interested. And I think maybe one or two that might not have been interested. And I just made sure that any discussion I had that went anywhere, I had one to hand out. And so, yeah, it was later on that I reached out again and was just a follow up. Hey, we had a chat and, you know, I gave you my card and, you know, I'm interested in some work. And so that was the process that I went through and got Starfinder. And once I got there, once the credits came out, I was able to say, hey, you know, here's some, you know, I pointed to my Wayfinders. By that time, I had a second Wayfinder, one that was Starfinder. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, so I just pointed to, here's the stuff I've done and here's the people I've talked to. And, you know, it was a slow process for me, but I don't know if it was slower or faster than anybody else. To me, I felt like I was being more cautious than I could have been. But I know there are people that might think I was being a little rushing, you know, to reach out more frequently. So that's,
Well, that's an interesting point there. So how often have you, or what's, when you say reach out frequently, what's your timing for reaching out to folks? I'm kind of curious. And then I'll tell you what I know or have heard.
When I was first starting, I would reach out. If it was someone new, I would reach out and give it a month before I tried again. Mm-hmm. At least a month. I know there was one or two where I waited a second month just because it was someone new and I was pretty sure they were in the middle of some big project.
Right.
Since then, I've been a little lax lately because I've just, my day job and my home life has just been super crazy. And so I don't want to reach out too frequently right now because if I end up getting two or three, you know, I'm just kind of on a slight hiatus at the moment. I have to double check my dates because I think I'm due to send out some more emails.
Well, it's interesting because so Owen Casey Stevens has a blog where he talks about these sorts of things. And I think it was a couple of weeks ago, he mentioned every 90 days was sufficient. Now talking to Ron Lundeen, he thinks, you know, every month or every other month's okay. And then, and that's for him, right? Mm-hmm. But other folks, you know, kind of think every other month. And then I hear with Jason Keeley, it's funny you mentioned that he's the kind that whoever's most recently talked to him usually gets picked up because that's just kind of how he's looking at stuff.
Yeah, you're on his mind. He remembers your name. And
so it seems to be like there's no actual number. And until they start telling you, oh, you're bugging me too much. I was doing it like every 6 months and then people were saying, no, you should be doing it more frequently, but I was getting plenty of stuff. So it's like, so now I'm trying every 2 months. We'll see how that goes. I've been getting, I got you on my list, but I'm thinking about you for this thing. I don't have anything right now. So I'm hoping that's a positive sign. I don't know. All right. So tell us about Sage, this Discord bot thing. What is it? How does it work? And, you know, what's that all about?
So, as you mentioned, Sage is a Discord bot. It is not the first of its kind. It is not the only of its kind. There are multiples out there. The most popular one that I can think of is Tupperbot. And Tupperbot's purpose is you can go in and create multiple avatars. You know, you give yourself an image, you give yourself a name. And when you post in chat, you give it a special prefix to your post, and it will take your post, delete it, and repost it using the images of your avatar. And that allows play by post on Discord to look a little bit like a JRPG, where you've got a dialogue box with the person's name and their picture and things of that nature. They're great. They work great, but I wanted it to look differently. I wanted a different style, and I wanted some more integration, because if you're going to play in Discord, not only is that kind of a dialogue nice, it's not necessary by any means. I've seen games where you don't use it, but you're going to want dice as well. And so everyone has a dialogue bot of some kind. Everyone has a dice bot of some kind. And what I did with Sage was I took the two and I put them together. So it's one bot. It'll handle your dice. It'll handle your dialogue. But I redid the way that it displays the dialogue so that, in my mind at least, and so far the people that like it, it does look more like a dialogue. Instead of just being a chat log in a chat server, you have those separate boxes. It kind of gives it that JRPG defining look almost. Mm-hmm. And by integrating the dice with the same bot, what you can do is, or at least my purpose for it, is that you can synchronize a couple of things like macros and things like that. But the extras that I put into it are where it really sets itself apart from the existing bots that I know of. When you set up Sage, you take a series of channels. Say you've got an in-character channel, an out-of-character channel, and a GM channel. You tell Sage what they are, and then you can configure it so that, you know, in the in-character, it'll only do dialogue and dice. If you want to, you know, do all your configurations, or if you want to, for instance, sorry to step back. I did also add some Pathfinder 2 rules into it. So if you set up a game as Pathfinder 2, when you do your dice, you can actually set things like armor class. You can do an attack macro that has the attack roll with an armor class target and a damage roll. It will calculate all of that. If you hit the armor class, it will show your damage. If you miss the armor class, it will not show your damage. If you succeed, you know, critical success, it will do the critical success math for you. Little things like that are the additions that I put in that normal bots don't, because normal bots don't generally have rule sets built in. And so with the game mechanics of having the channels provisioned as a game, what I can do is you can set up, hey, you know what? In this game, we're following Pathfinder rules, so we want secret dice rolls to not be seen by the player. So you can configure that. And when a player does their secret, you know, stealth check, they would do the dice roll. They would include the word secret. The bot would then show a symbol that it recognized their command, but it would send the dice results to the GM only channel. So that way the player still gets to roll their own dice. They still get to do their own actions, but the GM is seeing the result privately. It's one of those kind of, it's not a super big deal, but it gives you that extra feeling of being in, using the game, being a part of the game rules, and not hacking the medium for playing the game. It's a little bit more immersive is, you know, the purpose, the thought behind it. And so there are other things that it can do with as integrations. For instance, I'm working on currently integrating some notes and stats. So you'll be able to go ahead and say, you know, I'm going to track my AC directly to my character, because usually you have to have a post somewhere, or you track it on paper, or you just scan through how many times you've taken damage. And there are other bots that will track your character sheet. But this one I'm now adding it in because that wasn't originally part of it. But because I've integrated the dialogue and the dice, and now I'm integrating stats, when you track your stats, you'll actually be able to include them in your dialogue. So, for instance, in some games, video games, you'll see, it, you know, when you hover over the enemy, it'll show their hit points, things like that. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to have basically a macro in your character that whenever it shows your name, it'll show, you know, 1 of 5 hit points, you know, 20 of 20 hit points. Little things like that are going to be integrated soon. And that's just kind of what I'm trying to do, is I'm trying to get you as immersed into your play by post by hiding away some of the less fun parts of Play by Post.
Mm-hmm. And right now this is configured for second edition, or does it work for other games as well?
So the core engine itself is completely independent of game. Mm-hmm. You can use dice in any game you want to play. The only thing about the PF2 is it's because it's the primary game I play, it's the one that's easier for me to quickly add rules and things to because I'm familiar with them. Mm-hmm. So for instance, I've loaded in all the spells from the core rulebook. So wow. You can do excuse me. So yeah, you can do a quick search and pull up the entire text for a spell. I'm a little behind. I don't think I have the last two or three source books, but they didn't have a lot of spells. So I do need to get on that and get that up to speed. But little things like that. I've got the plan is to slowly get as much of the data in there. So like the key is things you're looking up constantly. So like I think you can search for dying and it'll pull back the paragraph on dying and recovering from death. You know, the kinds of things that you're frequently looking up but are a pain to go grab your book for, you know, and why, you know, if I have the access to it in Sage, why, you know, why would you want to open up a new window and go to, you know, one of three places you can find it online when you can get it right online or right there within your window.
Right.
And of course, I know all the content is over on archives. And so I do link to archives. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure that people know where you can get the information. I just shorten the process for a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That sounds really, really interesting. I've done a little bit of play by post, but it is pretty much just been in a Discord chat channel and just typing stuff. So this sounds like way, way better than doing that.
That's the hope and the dream. That's what I wanted it to do. And I've actually talked to a couple of the developers of a couple of the other bots. I'm looking at once I get to a stable point with my core features, I want to open up a little bit of my my engine essentially, so that I can integrate with some other people. It'd be mm-hmm. nice to share some of the logic, allow them to see what I'm doing. You know, it might be possible for me to share some of the things I'm doing with other people. But also, you know, I think Wayfinder Bot is one for tracking your character sheet. And they actually, I think you can do it directly in the bot, but I think they also allow you to pull from Path Builder. So that's one of the things I want to be able to do is I want to be able to pull mm-hmm. your character from Path Builder, you know, things of that nature. So those are all things down the list. I mean, this is definitely a side gig. You know, I've got my day job and then I've got my family and then I've got, you know, what little writing I do and I've got Sage. So...
Wow. And if people want more information about Sage and how to use it and to support it, where can they go?
So if you go to rpgsage.io, you should get my quick guide for setting it up. There's a link to the complete command list as it is currently. There should also be a link to my Discord.
Excellent. Excellent. So what advice do you have for people interested in doing RPG blogging and RPG writing?
If it's the writing part and the blogging part, just start writing. Even if you haven't set up your blog yet or you don't know how to set up a blog yet, just open up Notepad, open up Word, open up Google Docs. That's my writing pad of choice. And just write it. Once you figure out how to get it on the internet, you'll have it all compiled and ready and waiting to post. At that point, just reach out to other people. If you are curious about starting your own blog and you have no idea how that works or not sure you want to learn the technical aspects of it, you're welcome to reach out to me. At one point, I had this crazy notion of having a domain and letting people that wanted to get their start in blogging to come to me and get a subdomain there. I bought ttrpgs.blog. I would have to double check which one I have, but I did buy a domain for that purpose. If somebody were to reach out to me, it might give me that kick I need to start the concept.
Right. Excellent. And how could they reach you then?
I'm on Discord almost at all times. If you know the No Direction podcast's website, you should be able to find a link to their Discord. My personal Discord is just discord.rpgsage.io. It will forward you to my Discord. And my name is Randall, and I am the admin. I should be listed at the top of the user list on that Discord.
Excellent, excellent. So what's next for Randall? What kind of cool things are you working on that you can talk about with us today?
So I'm looking forward to a couple of releases in books that haven't had my name attached yet. Those will be fun. I'm currently not writing. Again, I'm thinking about reaching out for another project, but mostly right now I'm working on Sage. It's at one of those kind of pivotal moments where it's stable enough people can start using it, but it's got one or two small features that will really push it over the edge. And I'm just trying really hard to get it over that edge because once I can get it there, I'm going to, I have to get a rebrand. I named it something that was more personal to my home campaign, my home group.
Yeah.
For the longest time in my home brews, my tavern of choice was the Half Mug Tavern. And I have images, I have branding for it. And I had started my blog under that name. But once I started doing Sage, I realized that that's really locking me into a fantasy genre and really into my homebrew world. So that's where I came up with ultimately the RPG Sage. It's generic, it's neutral, it's inviting. And so I'm working on a rebrand of imaging and I'm going to rebrand my Discord. And I'm going to have a social media push to just get people checking it out because, you know, I wrote this for me originally, but people love it and like it. And I think more people would. So I really want to get as many people on it as I can.
Cool. And you also have a Patreon?
I do have a Patreon for the Sage. And I don't know the name of it because I wasn't prepared for that question.
I'm sorry. Okay.
No,
ask on your Discord. I'm sure they can find it.
There are links to it on my Discord. I have Discord open. I should probably just go there and look.
I'm trying to help you plug your stuff. Come on.
The Patreon is just patreon.com/halfmugtavernsage. Like I said, it'll be rebranded at some point.
All right. Well, Randall, thanks so much for being on the podcast today.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it.